Well, I do believe I have one of our favorites here, Congressman Joe Wilson, on the line this morning. How are you doing, Congressman?
Well, Ann, it's great to be with you, and I so much appreciate your program and educating the people in Western South Carolina and even in Georgia on issues of the day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very, very much. You know, I was looking over your folder last night, and I was thinking back over time and how much trouble you had when you issued that famous phrase, "You lie." I wonder how you're feeling about the president now.
Well, it's not personal at all, and my disagreements with him are on policy, and sadly, his policies, I believe, are not working for the people of our country, and beginning with jobs, the issue of the healthcare takeover, Obamacare, destroying jobs, I'm very, very concerned. And it's affecting families. They're losing hours. They're losing their jobs. We have, to me, an extraordinarily high level of unemployment because of the policies of this administration. And I'm really enjoying working with Congressman Jeff Duncan and the rest of the South Carolina team to try to change the president's policies.
Yeah, I know, Joe, and of course, y'all stood up down there. And of course, we just came out of that 16-day shutdown. So, how are things? How is the attitude up there now that y'all are back to work? Is there still all this animosity, or is there a is there any hope of y'all getting together and doing something good for South Carolina and good for the country?
Well, I'm always hopeful, and I, in working with Congressman Duncan, working with Trey Gowdy from upstate and Mick Mulvaney, Tom Rice from the coast, we've got an extraordinary team, and we are making every effort to try to convince our colleagues on the other side that we need to reduce the growth of government, particularly with Obamacare. We need to reduce the growth of government. That's how you stimulate job creation and obviously maintain the freedoms that we have.
But how do you how is the attitude, though? I mean,
it's amazing, and that it's really not personal. And I have made every effort personally, just walking around the floor. People just disagree, but it's not animosity as you might think. Oh, hey, and hey, we do know. We've got people. I don't get to see, thank goodness, Harry Reid. He has just been hateful in some of the things he said. And I'm very proud of the people on our team. We have not responded in kind. But the hateful comments that have been made by him that are just so incendiary. But the bottom line is that, hey, we know we're right on the issues. And that's, hey, the reason they're doing name-calling, Ann, is because they know that their policies are not working. They're wrong. We can see with the crash of the Obamacare website that the what we have is such a huge government program, and it fulfills something I said. I said all along that this was going to be equivalent to Cash for Clunkers, which was an overwhelmed program. And the way the administration handled that was to simply triple the budget. But on Obamacare, you can't triple the budget without bankrupting the country.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I do understand that there is in the Senate that they are there has been more than six Democrats that are now saying that it should be not done away with, delayed. I find it interesting that this could be something, and of course I know in the House you would have enough votes to delay. But my question to you is, do you think, even if there is this motion afoot, and even if this could happen in the Senate, do you think Harry Reid would bring that up?
I don't think he would. He is so intent on he's the one who's creating the gridlock, and of course then name-calling other people. But I was very proud. The House four times passed legislation to avoid the government shutdown with a continuing resolution.
Sure.
We passed over a dozen other pieces of legislation that would have provided for funding of the government that he did not take up.
Sure.
And of course, for the past 3 years until this year, there was no budget at all. And because he was trying to create a circumstance and where his members would not have recorded votes so that whoever they met with, they could give the impression that they were for them.
Exactly. And, of course, now you have an unlimited credit card up there with no debt ceiling limit.
And this is so wrong. And we'll just keep pressing to try to have the debt limit in place. And because we see this administration is borrowing on average, can you imagine borrowing over $44,000 a second?
A second.
And it's so sad to me, Ann. The president, when he first came into office, and of course he campaigned to reduce the deficit, and he accused President Bush of being inappropriate and not balancing the budget. And then in February 2009, I was present when he said to the Republican conference at the Capitol that the current deficit was not sustainable. And so I believed him, except then he tripled it from what it was at $400 billion, nearly $400 billion. He tripled it to $1.2 trillion. And so, and now we have a circumstance of borrowing around $44,000 a second. This simply is not responsible. And it puts the young people of our country at risk, but it also puts people of age at risk because the value of the dollar, to me, could be in question.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you saw the video that's going around, Joe, where a guy goes into his bank and says he wants to see about personally raising his debt ceiling.
Wow.
And the banker says, well, you're already $140,000 over what you should be. And he goes, that's right. That's why I want to raise it to $170,000. That'll give me $30,000 to play with.
Wow.
The banker then asks him, this was a spoof on the U.S. government. The banker then asks him, well, what attempt have you made to cut your budget? And he goes, oh, we've been very serious about it. We've cut it by $380.
Wow.
And then at the end of this, Joe, this is the kicker to this whole thing. At the end of this, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and raise your debt ceiling to $170,000. We'll just need a signature. And the last scene of the video shows a child, a 3 or 4 year old child, signing the document.
Oh, wow.
Now, does that bring it home?
Yeah, hey, that's really putting it sadly in perspective.
Exactly. So that is one issue. Now, another question I wanted to ask you about, because coming up the first of the year, I hear there's some talk about doing away with the sequester. How do you feel about, of course, there'll be new kick-ins on the defense and also on entitlements. Where do you stand as far as the sequester? As far as I've seen, the sequester is the only thing that's tamping down anything.
Well, it needs to be adjusted with reprogramming because, sadly, the sequester, which was a plan of the president, which they thought nobody would agree to, they thought it would be so disastrous, sadly, to defense that they thought there wouldn't be agreement. And it is a threat to our defense in this way, that sequester is a 50% reduction in spending on 15.1% of the budget, which is the defense budget. And we're seeing the consequence of that now with our troops and personnel being reduced. This administration is actually reducing the Army to the smallest size since 1939, the Navy to the smallest size since 1916, the Air Force to the smallest size since it was created in 1947. And we have enemies overseas. There were front-page stories today about how terrorist safe havens are being created in Syria to attack the United States. And we've got to be prepared. And I'm very grateful, particularly in your listening area, you've got the in Edgefield, you've got the 122nd Engineers, who are currently of the Second Army National Guard, currently serving in Afghanistan. So we're at war, and people are at war with us. We did not declare war on them initially. We're responding to attacks on our country and more planned attacks on our country. And the way to handle this is what Ronald Reagan always said, and that is peace through strength.
Sure. So are you telling me that you think we should do away with the sequester? Are you for doing away with those?
I would do away with the sequester and provide for reprogramming of the funds to achieve this, what has been good, and that is a reduction in spending.
Okay. And then I understand there's this new Water Resources Act. Did that pass yesterday afternoon?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And what does that mean to South Carolina?
Well, the good news is that it did not have earmarks. That was an achievement. That's the first time it's ever passed without earmarks. The other consequence that should be good for South Carolina and will be good, the Port of Charleston, there's a real opportunity with the fees that are collected from every container that comes through the port, that would be used to deepen the port, which then would enable, with the widening of the Panama Canal, more ships to come into Charleston. That's more jobs throughout the state of South Carolina. And so the Port of Charleston is just crucial. Additionally, Congressman Tom Rice was successful in having included wording that would assist the Port of Georgetown. And that is our second port in South Carolina, and it's very beneficial for the manufacturing facilities in Georgetown.
So this is actually good news for South Carolina.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that is terrific. Now, one other question, Joe. I understand that you wrote a letter to Mr. Dan Strodel, the Chief Administrative Office, about having that was about Fort Jackson, but you had written a letter. Excuse me. I wanted to talk about your pay. You wanted to not take your pay. Can you do that?
Well, what happened is that I believe most members of our delegation sent a letter that if federal employees are not paid, members of Congress would not be paid. And
right.
So that was the initiative. And because it was, I don't want to be treated any better than other employees of our government.
But but employees are getting their back pay while they were out.
Yes, and so that was provided that they shouldn't have been the victims of what I believe was contrived by the president, and that is that he, and very clearly, 2 weeks prior to the shutdown, called the Speaker of the House and simply said there will be no negotiation. On the evening of the shutdown, he called again and said, no negotiation. And then you can also look and see what he did, not only what he said, but what he did.
Sure.
And that is he planned no effort of negotiation. In fact, he called in his political team, and then they came up with something just terrific, and that is to fence off the World War II memorial.
Oh, I know.
To cause pain. And I actually was so disgusted about that, I went to see it myself, and I took pictures of where they put double fencing around that memorial. They put a triple fence around Martin Luther King. And this is bizarre, because these are open-air monuments. They've never had fencing, ever.
Right.
It's never even been thought of to have fencing.
I know. It's never happened.
And then as proof that this was contrived, I took pictures. There are signs that were placed on the fencing saying closed due to federal shutdown. How sad is this? And this was so mean-spirited. They knew that the very day that they put the fences up, that there were honor flights coming in, I believe from Ohio, where you had persons in wheelchairs. You have 90-year-old World War II veterans who were coming the trip of a lifetime, and they put fencing there. And I'm very grateful that members of Congress, like Congressman Rich Nugent of Florida and others, went and actually separated the fences so that these veterans could see their memorial.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, there were dozens of examples. The thing about not paying the fallen soldiers the money.
Oh, that was so bad. And because we passed legislation that for the death benefit for our heroes, the people who make it possible for you and me to
sure.
be on the radio right now.
Sure.
They also denied burial benefits, $10,000. And they also denied the travel vouchers for family members to go to Dover for mm-hmm. when their loved ones were brought back home. All of this, to me, is a mindset which is arrogant, and it's mean-spirited.
Well, you know, absolutely. And then, of course, one of the senators contacted the Fisher House, and then he got involved, and then the government said they didn't need his money.
Yes.
And then he went ahead anyways, which I think this was tremendous, and gave $15,000 to each one of the family, each one of the families, saying this money is just for you, for your pain and suffering. We don't want to be paid back anything.
And the Fisher House is such a wonderful organization, and I've visited the Fisher Houses here in Washington, at Bethesda, also overseas, at Landstuhl in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful organization, and reflection of the love and affection for American service members and their families. And it's very personal to me. I served 31 years in the Army National Guard, and I have four sons currently serving in the military. So it's very important to me to know the strong support and love and affection of the American people.
Well, you know, I think you can definitely see that. I think it's great that patriotism, and if anything, I think that might have boomeranged on the administration.
I do. I believe it. Sadly, it just should have never occurred, Anne. That's
exactly.
just so wrong.
Exactly. So just to get back to that question that I asked you about, so what did y'all do about your pay? Did you not take it, or because they're back paying all the employees that you're taking it? What happened? I know some said they were going to donate it to charities, but what
happened?
There
were two options people could have, and that is at the end of the year, based on whether the pay was reinstated, that it would still apply, or they could donate to charity. My selection was to be whatever the pay was of federal employees, to be treated equal to that.
Okay. So then you will be opting to be paid at the end of this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I just wondered because there was a lot of discussion back and forth about that.
And, hey, everybody may have treated it differently. To me, I wanted members of Congress to be treated as other federal employees.
I understand. And now, about the jump, where you jumped out of the plane. Is that the first time you've ever done that?
It certainly was. I was an organization that I really appreciate is the Kangaroo Express Convenience Stores. And so every year they raise money for military families, for the Fisher House, for Wounded Warrior programs. And people, as you go to the Kangaroo, you can add a dollar to your bill, or you can put money in a canister. And so I went by to thank them for this program. And in the middle of me thanking them, they said, "Hey, Congressman, next week at Shaw Air Force Base, we're going to have a family day. Would you like to come?" I said, "I'd be happy to." And then they said, "Hey, and we'd love for you to jump out of a plane." And before I really put my thought into it, I said, "I'd be happy to." Then I realized what I agreed to. And the good thing is that the person who was my jump master has jumped 9,000 times, Michael Rivers.
Didn't he jump with the president?
He jumped with President George H.W. Bush twice.
Right, okay.
And so I felt very comfortable, and it was certainly jumping. Hey, for military families, I will stand on my head, too.
Well, how did your wife feel about this?
My wife was very supportive, and she obviously was there at Sumter, and again, it was so meaningful to me to be able to be there and participate and thank the military families. Amazingly enough, I was able to speak after I landed.
Oh, that's great, Joe. I mean, you know, I tell you what, does that go down as one of your experiences of your lifetime?
Oh, very much. Truly, however I can do anything within the law to promote military families, hey, I'm going to be there.
I know you are. And that is tremendous. And I know here in South Carolina, there certainly is support and feeling for our military families, not only those serving, but the families that are left at home.
Absolutely. And the family support organizations are just world-class now. And I'm so grateful for our Adjutant General Bob Livingston. He has just been so thoughtful in having tremendous opportunities for military families. And I know just firsthand, I have a son who's serving with the Army National Guard there at Edgefield. And the community there is just so positive and supportive.
Well, that is terrific. Well, Joe, I know what you go back next week. Is that right?
Yes, we will be in session beginning Monday. And I am still here in Washington, meeting with constituents. And hey, I'm meeting with different industry groups on jobs. I'm very pleased. A few moments ago, I met with representatives from Tognum North America. They have the MTU facility. They produce engines at Graniteville, and
okay.
So that's 300 jobs. And I always enjoy thanking the different industries that are creating jobs and creating opportunity for the young people of our communities.
Absolutely. Well, we have two big announcements here. Number one, Colgate-Palmolive just has agreed to come into Greenwood. That's going to be 300 jobs right here in Greenwood.
And that's terrific.
That is terrific. And yesterday I was out at the links at Stony Point, and they are bringing a world-class golf tournament here, the Symetra Tour, which is the pre-tour to get into the LPGA next May, and it is going to be a huge event right here in Greenwood.
Well, I am so proud of the Greenwood community. I'm also very grateful that our Deputy Chief of Staff and our Legislative Director is Melissa Chandler Murphy of Greenwood. And so we get to work with Jeff Duncan, and we have a Greenwoodian as one of the leaders of our office.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us up here in Greenwood. Thank you for your service, and thank you for keeping up the good fight.
Hey, we're going to keep pressing for limited government, expanded freedom, and honored to be serving. I represent all of Aiken, Barnwell, Lexington, most of Richland, and Western Orangeburg. So I've got a great, compact district, and honored to be serving in Congress.
Thank you so much, Congressman Joe Wilson. Bye-bye, and God bless.
Bye-bye, God bless.